a song outside my window.
Help me, I think I'm falling in love again.
California, coming home blue.
Hi, I'm Ed Melnick, your host for the singer-songwriter edition of the Monday Sampler. Joni Mitchell, winner of 9 Grammy Awards, is one of the most revered singer-songwriters in the last 50 years. In celebration of Joni Mitchell's 75th birthday, I've put together a special program featuring some of her known and not-so-well-known music. I hope you'll join me Monday, November 5th, from 2 to 4. Let's celebrate Joni's birthday together.
The Federal Communications Commission is looking to change policy, which, if passed, will cause serious and potentially catastrophic local regulatory and funding problems for cities and community media nationwide. Our friends at Open Signal, Portland's cable access community television and media arts center, have provided us a lot of information on how the change of fees charged to cable companies will impact the city's ability to negotiate franchises that include public benefit, and how the public resources will become private. There is also information on how to contact the FCC to provide public comment. Information is at kboo.fm/opensignal2018.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. More Talk Radio is up next.
Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO FM, 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, Albany, and via the World Wide Web, it is KBOO.FM. If you are listening live, but I suppose the only way you can listen, well, that's what I speculate is live, so, but if you're listening while this is being broadcast, it is Monday, November 5th, and it is about 8:01 a.m. in Portland. I am Cecil Prescott, and I will be joined shortly by Celeste Carey, who is on the way. And let me give you our phone numbers. Our phone numbers are 503-231-8187. If you would like to be a part of our morning conversation this morning, you'll give us a call. Heather will answer the phone, and she'll put you on hold, and hopefully you won't have to wait too long until you are on the air. So thank you for being a part of our listening audience, and let me remind you, if you did not change your clocks, you know, you have still have clocks that you have to change by yourself, that it is now 8 o'clock and not, was it spring forward, fall back, so it's 8 o'clock, not 9 o'clock, but it was amazing yesterday and this morning realizing that, you know, it's not as dark as early in the morning. So when I was coming here this morning, there was some light, and so that might be a joyful thing about the fall and the change in time. So as you are all very well aware, tomorrow is the election day in the United States, and people all over are voting or attempting to vote. And it is the opportunity to participate in this grand experience we have here in these United States of experience of electoral democracy. Here in Oregon, we vote by mail, but if you are like me this year, you have not yet mailed or place your ballot in. It's not that I don't know what I'm voting for. It's just that it's just sitting there on the counter and I just haven't gotten around to do it. So I justify it by saying I'm part of that tradition that is a lost art, at least in this state, of going to the polling place and standing in line and voting. One of the privileges we have in the state of Oregon, we don't have to do that, but I will get my ballot in sometime today. I better get it in by tomorrow, and I hope you have too. So, as you might know or suggest, part of our conversations this morning is on elections, and particularly how you are voting, but also how issues are being discussed and you are addressing the issues. Particularly, and Celeste, when she arrives, will be a part of this conversation. We want to discuss on how race and immigration as a racial issue and racially motivated violence is affecting our politics and how we are responding to it personally and publicly. It is a serious time in our society, and you have to be either very insensitive, or maybe you are protecting yourself. But certainly, I have been affected, and many people I know of have been terribly disappointed and sorrowful by the rise in racist violence, in misogynist violence, and the way our country is practicing its being these days. You don't have to go very far or to either hear or read about racist violence. And the rhetoric we hear from the elected officials contributes to that, and I'm sure you are aware of that as well. Well, how do we respond to this rise in racial and misogynist violence in our nation, and what do we do with the rhetoric? How is it impacting you? Are you motivated to participate more in this electoral process, either advocating or working for a candidate or a ballot measure that impacts your community? How do you talk to your children about what this is all about? Give us a call as part of our general conversation this morning. 503-231-8187 is the, let me mute my computer, is the way we are discussing things in our society impacting your approach to the election this year, or the particular ballot measures for those of you, well, in Oregon, but also throughout our listening area, that you are working for, and where do we go from here? It has been said and observed that we are a society increasingly motivated or influenced by social media. And one of the great things about social media is the way in which we have instant communication and instant information. Whether it's accurate or not, that depends on what sources we have. But also, social media has a tendency to limit our sources of information and our contacts. So if you are like me, and I'm sure I'm like most people, The people who are part of my social media network are people who are like me in many ways, in terms of philosophy, politics, you know, types of movie you like to read or books. So we are somewhat narrowed. So somewhat part of the concern is how do we have real communication with those who are outside of our social media circle? And is it possible to have meaningful conversation for transformation to take place? That's something I would like to hear from you and hear some of your ideas about, and I'll say more about this a little bit longer. But in the meantime, I want to remind you our numbers are 503-231-8187, and Camilo is our first caller this morning. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm pretty good. I'm excited about the election.
Oh, okay.
I've been active, and I've witnessed an amazing turnout of people who are really engaged in canvassing both door-to-door and by telephone,
yes,
working on a range of issues. And I don't think I need to review what's on the ballot. I think there's been plenty of publicity. But what I want to mention is, what are we doing after the election?
Oh.
I think there's going to be a let up in the energy and activism that we've seen. And what I think we have to take advantage of is this tremendous outpouring of concern that essentially has been brought about by the Trump phenomenon, and also by the local events that you know, we are responding to in terms of, you know, the racism that you've described, the violence that you've mentioned. We've seen that right here in our hometown, and you know, there's a range of local, regional, and national issues that have really excited the electorate and gotten people engaged. And if there are people out there, and I'm sure there are, who are not so engaged, I just encourage you to get involved, join a group. Mm-hmm. A number of the groups that I belong to, Jobs with Justice, for example, mm-hmm, are concerned about what do we do after the election. And we are having meetings discussing what we're going to do about that. And feeling is,
yeah, say something more about what do we do after the elections, because as you said, there's a lot of energy, and for many people who are either newly energized or where maybe a part of you know, these campaigns. But as you suggest, you know, November 7th, November 8th, and what happens afterwards?
So, I mean, there are issues such as the Janus decision that has the unions trembling, and the effect of that is going to severely weaken the union's ability to operate.
Yes.
And unions have been very important in getting support on a range of progressive measures, and it's going to be much harder to do that. And we need to come together to figure out how we're going to compensate for those losses. And one of the things that I believe is really a great potential is to see greater unity between environmental organizations and progressive trade union organizations. There's been some antipathy between them, but I think that's been overcome, as we've seen in the campaign for the Port and Clean Energy Initiative. A number of unions have gotten behind that, including the carpenters, including the trade Building Trades Council.
Yes.
So that is a very good sign.
Very, very good. Good example of working together and bridging some artificial barriers. So that's a great motivation for people to continue the work after Tuesday. Hey, thank you.
Let's get together, dig in, join a group, and get involved.
Hey, thank you so much, Camilo. Thank you for calling and sharing your wisdom with us this morning. Let's go to James. Good morning, James.
Good morning. I've definitely seen a rise in my personal life, more confrontations with people who just, because I'm Mexican, but I don't really speak it. But if I just walk around silent,
you don't speak Mexican. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I don't speak Mexican. I'm working on it though.
Okay.
On speaking it.
Okay.
But people, because I look at people, will confront me. They like to, people make side-handed comments that I have to redirect them very quickly. Or I have a good friend of mine of 19 years. Her family is Jewish, and she's been telling me about what her family's been experiencing, the vandalism of their shared area that they hold their synagogue services in. So I've definitely felt it more, and I've been more motivated to engage because I have a daughter now, and yeah. I will be, and it's one thing for myself, I guess, and maybe that just sounds crazy because I think most of us need a catalyst in order to kind of jumpstart us. Mine has been my daughter. Ever since I found out I was going to have her, it's like, I need to plant my feet somewhere. I need to dig in. I need to fight back.
Right.
And
you're not only talking about your life, but about your daughter and the future. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know what the future holds. There's so many things are being deregulated, and I don't know what type of future is going to be left for my kid, but I'll be damned if she didn't look at me and say, he didn't do anything. But the one thing that I found really interesting is it's basically the trifecta of white supremacy, which is corporatism, capitalism, militarism, and racism. And I feel like one of the best ways we can fight back against it, because of the power that's derived from those things, is to start moving away from an economy that requires us to be constantly engaged. And I'm trying to find ways that I can stop spending money. And I mean, I still have to make it, obviously, because I mean, I'm not in a financial situation to really be able to remove myself from that completely, but really trying to work and build community bonds that allow the trying to bring people together so we can start depending on each other, not necessarily a system that will eventually overtake us if we continue to participate in it, because that's the one thing I've found.
Let me jump in here for a second. Here,
go ahead.
As a female, as firstborn in my family, I tell you what you should do as a man raising a female: raise her to be independent, but willing to be a partner to a man if that's her desire to get married. Okay.
Yeah. No, I absolutely.
Raise her to be very secure in herself. Raise her with a mastery of basic mechanics, if all possible, so that she can look after herself. I mean, things like that. I say mechanics, and I don't mean just literal mechanics like cars or how to put a nail in or how to connect wiring. I mean also social mechanics. And the reason I say that is because she will then be prepared to deal with whatever future there is. Because you can't predict the future. But if you give your daughter the support she needs and the strength she needs to stand in an environment that may very well be dominated by misogynistic machinations. Okay, a lot of M's this morning. What can I say? but you know, you get my drift. It, you know,
yeah.
That's one of the things that my father gave me, and it's not the only reason I'm a daddy's girl. But you know, that was one of the things my father gave me that made a big difference in my life. I had six males come after me before I had any females in my family to play with, and you know, it was just me and my mom. And you know, it was a blessing to have a strong mother, but it was a blessing to have a father who knew how to both be supportive and strong, but also kind and show me how things worked in life. If you can do that, you'll do well with your daughter.
Yeah, that's definitely where I'm going with it. I'm doing my best to not only try to teach her right, but also to surround her with strong, fiery women who
teach her how to work with fiery men. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I mean, I have a plethora of women in my life who are engaged and who are, you know, who are aware, and you know, and because as a man, there's just certain things I'll never understand about being a woman, but I can at least surround her with people also who can show her those things. And I absolutely agree with you. That's going to be my largest
that'll be your great contribution. Won't necessarily be the greatest.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I really appreciate that input. It's nice to hear that from somebody else as well.
All righty. Thank you for your call.
Hey, thank you so much, James. You are listening to More Talk Radio on KBOO FM, 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, Albany, 9KBOO.FM via the World Wide Web. Give us a call. We're having some discussions about elections, what's happening, where do we go from here. And we began our conversation this morning by asking the question, not only how you are doing as the election prepare, but the influence of racist and misogynist violence that we are witnessing in our society today, and how that may how those things are impacting the way you feel and how you are doing, and what happens, as our earlier caller said, we will do the day after the elections. 503-231-8187. And
before we go to you, Jeremy, hold on. We're going to go right to you. Cecil introduced the topic about how we relate via social media. And I want to tie this into this whole thing about how we can publicly deal with the racially motivated attacks. And that is, talk to people outside of your sphere. And we'll develop that a little bit more. But the reason it's important is we talk a lot of times to our own respective choirs when we talk about how we don't believe in this and we support this and yeah and right and okay and right on, you know, because we're talking with like-minded people, as he mentioned, as Cecil mentioned earlier. But it's time for us to get outside of our bubble and speak to others, and to speak to others with conviction. And that's one of the things that we'll be talking about as we discuss further this whole idea of these racially motivated attacks. It's going to take, and I'm going to say it just like this, white people talking to white people that you know are in the middle ground. We can't get necessarily to the extremists, but it's time to, what is that they say, cut wood or sit down?
Okay.
You don't see that expression on the electronic media?
I'll go with you.
Well, good morning, Jeremy, and thanks for holding.
I think you were looking for fish or cut bait.
Well, no, I've heard of cut wood. I'm from the Midwest. They're going to say fish, cut bait. They're going to say saw wood or sit down, you know, whatever.
Okay.
But do it. Jerry. Just do it.
Anyway, I mostly, because I have a gangster postman who doesn't like walking up my stairs, so somehow my ballot got returned.
I always vote
in person, because if it doesn't take that long, you wait in line for 10 minutes and they give you, you know, if you've lost your ballot or something, but I never fill it out till the day, because I don't like vote by mail. And
are you suspicious like I am?
A little bit. And I think Teresa Mitchell's talking about how you're supposed to vote online. I won't do that.
Oh, no, I'm not going to vote online either.
I grew up with the experience of going into a booth and pulling a lever. And I kind of miss that.
Yeah.
And I also, it's kind of a party scene down at, and it's only half mile away.
You are just like me. That is exactly what I would tell people. I like pulling the lever. I've been a voting, you know, officer. And I like that party scene because you feel hopeful.
Yeah. Well, actually, I don't feel hopeful.
I'm sorry, Jeremy. I was trying.
From about 7 o'clock on, at wherever it is, 10th and Morrison, it's usually jumping. And
it is.
It's certainly jumping in 08 when Obama was coming in.
Yeah.
Even though I really wished I was wrong about him because I thought he was like Clinton. He was a pro-choice Republican. And I'm pretty much sure I was right. But God,
he was part of the machinery regardless.
Right. If I'd been wrong about Obama, we'd have a different world, you know? I mean, if the people who loved Obama were right.
You mean to tell me it was your vote that made the difference? I'm scared, Jim.
Anyway, here's the vote I'm having trouble making.
Okay.
It's got to do with the housing bonds.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the arguments against the state bond, because I don't really understand enough of that sort of economics, municipal funding structures. There's a general obligation bond, and since I haven't had a voting pamphlet, I haven't been able to learn it. And so I'm going to get down to the Board of Elections early and read the damn thing and see if I can make my mind up on the state bond. But the more complicated vote for me, since I got, you know, I was born into a good-sized bucket of privilege, and one of the, you know, I've always never had much money, and then suddenly I had dead parents and I could have a house, and I'm really angry. I mean, it's kind of petty, but the way they present the house, the local housing bond, it'll build many less homes than they say it will. It's giving too much money to developers. The thing that really drives me nuts, I hate Metro. Metro should be in jail for the way they treat the elephants. I would say that even if I wasn't a vegetarian. Metro should be in jail for the way they run the shelter when there's excess, you know, hotel capacity already.
Okay,
so
now
for me to empower Metro, to run a housing program, even if all the money wasn't going for all these bells and whistles developers, is something I don't think I can do. And I want other callers who are automatically, like anybody to the left of Genghis Khan, is of course going to vote to give poor people some housing.
Okay,
Jeremy.
Whoo, calm down. Whoo. You have made your point. Okay, first. Second,
Before you hang up on me, let me make
I'm not going to hang up on you, but I would love to respond. And,
sure.
You know, Cecil and I are trying to shovel our way in here. First, if you love the opportunity to share KBOO and listen to KBOO, you can't say certain words on the air.
I'm sorry about that.
I dumped it in time. But anyway, here's the thing. Your voice has to be heard to Metro. You know, it's good that you're speaking over the radio because, you know, somebody involved in Metro is probably listening, you know, and somebody else who's listening may pick up on that as well. But the best way to deal with housing issues is to really get up in front of the bureaus from the city, the county, the state, even Metro, to deal with that and let them hear your voice and let them hear your neighbors or your, you know, like-minded people, you know, that they hear that voice. And places that deal with housing need to know that you can support them. So whether it's something like transition projects or any of the other ones, I'm suddenly drawing a blank. They need to know that you support them as well, and find out how you can get involved with them, because otherwise, we're just whistling in the wind.
So let me ask you. Particularly, you mentioned the housing initiative. So it sounds as if you are opposing the local measure, but the state measure you would support, is that correct?
Well, to be honest, I'm unless someone can talk me into it, and I should get off the air so someone can call in and talk me into it. But mm-hmm. I haven't met anybody who's got. What I'm going to do is not vote on the local measure.
Mm-hmm.
And the state measure.
And the state measure, I'm either going to not vote or I'm up in the air. I'm confused. I need to learn. it's a somehow it changes the state constitution. It changes bonding structures.
Okay. But let's see if some other people.
Let's see if somebody can call up and tell you where to find that.
Sure. Anyway, but I mean, just reading the damn measure. Excuse me, the darn measure will really help. Now, the announcement I want to make. I've been offline semi-intentionally because my cash flow went in the toilet. But I have heard an announcement on KBOO. I think that there's a march from Digapony, which is somewhere, you know, like a, you know, 10th and Morrison. It's some hipster bar, and the bus project. So you Google either of those things, and you'll find out exactly when and where the march is. And they're going to march from there to the Board of Elections. And I would imagine there'll be music.
And I mean, who's going to march? Why are they marching?
They're marching because it's election day.
Okay.
The bus project was the creation of that repulsive human. You know, the guy who almost became mayor, except they found out that he was beating women up in college.
Oh, Jeremy, you're not having a good day, are you?
Jeff Davis. You know, whatever his name was.
Okay, gotcha.
No, he would have become mayor a few years ago. He had the endorsement of the police. He was a state legislator. Anyway, his organization is called the Bus Project. They're leading the march.
Okay.
I'm happy that someone has organized the march because I was too depressed all summer to, you know, go to marches and street fairs. And the one last thing I want to say,
really quickly,
is with regard, you know, as a Jew who is blonde and doesn't look Jewish and doesn't act Jewish, I don't think, and usually doesn't like.
We won't say anything about what a Jew's supposed to look like, but continue, Jerry.
But anyway, I live in two cultures. I play poker professionally and basketball awfully, and they're mostly, I'd say, you know, 70-30 Republicans.
Mm.
And I've noticed little twinges of anti-Semitism. I mean, aggression is promoted at the poker table. You get to take people's money from them by being thuggish. And I am clueless as to how to talk to these people. You know, the Republican lawyers, I can have semi-reasonable arguments with. The contractors who are poker players, or occasionally, some of them are making minimum wage, or, you know, they're sort of Trump's core.
Okay.
And they're wasting their money playing poker, losing it to me, and I am out of my depth.
Okay. Well, so, you know, those are the extreme, but maybe somebody will call in and give us some tips. All righty. Thank you for your call.
And you're listening. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say the same thing. Oh. So you're listening to your community connection, KBOO Portland 90.7, here on your dial. And the phone number is 503-231-8187.
I have a couple of things that are observations.
Oh, yes. Go right
which
ahead.
Which probably has nothing to do with what our main topics are.
I'm here. All ears.
However, our last two callers, one was James, who Mexican heritage, and he said he doesn't speak Mexican.
Okay, and might be how he says it with his friends.
And Jeremy mentioned that he's Jewish, but he doesn't look Jewish. So it was just an observation for our last two callers who...
In it but not of it?
Well, no, it's just an observation on my part that a larger discussion about what people of a certain group supposed to act and or look like. But, okay, it has nothing important, but, you know.
Well, that was kind of where I was going with in it but not of it. Like, if you claim a culture, but you don't look like it, so how easy or how hard is it for you to actually experience what the culture experiences.
I just never knew there was a language called Mexican.
I you know, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say maybe he jokingly says that with his friends. You know, because I know within the realm of black slang there's a lot of things that I would say that I don't necessarily say when I'm in other cultures, because, you know.
Well, the larger the larger issue for me was just in terms of
where was he coming from with that?
was that is there a way in which people are supposed to act of a certain culture? And so, but, you know, that's another day.
The only thing I can think of is like act like a human being, and if somebody says what is that, then we have work to do.
Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Elections Day, November 6th. Those of you who have voted early, congratulations. Those of you who have not, you will still have the chance to. And those of you who, on principle, will not vote, appreciate your sentiment as well. I think all people, and you know, it just occurred to me,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not sure I agree with this,
mm-hmm.
but there seems to be a mob mentality,
okay.
That voting is, we are obligated to vote, and there is some shame in some circles for those who choose not to vote. Now, I understand I understand those issues. I understand the sacrifice people make to vote. I understand mm-hmm. the struggle people even today have in terms of exercising their right to vote.
Oh, so I should shut up. Okay. So
my question was a different question is in terms of looking at democracy is not limited to voting on election day.
Oh.
And that's not the end all and be all of what we have to struggle. Camilo, our first caller, mentioned that what happens the day after the election, and I would want to emphasize that to be a part of this so-called democracy, it means not only voting on election day, but it's also mean participating in the democratic process. Okay.
Okay. I can go for that. I have a hard time with people wanting to not vote, because even if we are being hoodwinked and our vote is not cast and counted for what we want it for, because I saw some of the news coverage that showed how some electronic voting machines were malfunctioning. The fact, I vote mostly because I want to show the powers that be that I'm awake and I'm not going to just rubber stamp things.
Well, let me ask you, I don't have my voting thing in
Your
front of me.
Ballot.
A ballot in front mm-hmm. of me. I wonder how careful people are in terms of their voting process. I'm curious that when it comes to, I forget the title, but I can understand being concerned and researching about ballot measures and candidates and offices and doing your research. But how many people actually spend time to think about their precinct precinct representative or chairperson? You know, those little things at the bottom of your ballot that you don't have much time. Or for elections, for judicial elections, how many people actually research the judges for on the candidates? And when there's only one candidate, do people do as much due diligence in looking at the candidates, or do they just either vote automatically or do not vote automatically?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm a sucker. I research, and if I don't know enough, then I don't vote. I figure I'm penalized. that's my penalty.
So,
vote for that.
So
that
even
person.
For the whatever party
the
you are, the precinct, what is it? The precinct representative. You know, the if you Republican or Democrat.
Oh,
or independent,
okay. I'm an independent, so I don't see all that.
Oh, you don't see all of that.
No.
So you're not participating fully in the
I am.
That's another question.
I'm participating in not being part of the party system as it is structured. So then I have to look at who are the independent candidates, and I have to look at both the Republican and Democratic, you know, candidates. So I have to look at it makes me work.
But you don't have you're not invested in a particular political party.
Yep.
So
nope.
Somehow you, I mean, the larger question is, if you're not, then you somehow, because the way the system is set up.
Well, I get cheated in terms of primaries, but it means I have to do more work.
Okay.
I mean, as I see it, I have to do more work. I have to know who these people are. I have to know if I'm going to vote for somebody.
I don't think more work.
Yeah, you do, because you got to know both what the Republicans are doing. You got to know what the Democrats are doing. You have to know what all the
independents
are doing.
But I think any candidate, any voter
does. But if you're a party member and you vote a straight party ticket.
No, I didn't say that.
Oh,
I say that in the party, so there's that operation within the party.
Well,
how
you
the
have
party
the pre-selected
is structured, the precinct chairs and all of that.
Oh, precinct.
Yeah,
okay, I thought you were saying precinct.
Oh, no.
Okay. So I thought you meant the tickets. Okay,
yeah.
Okay, I got you now. Oh, now, I used to do all that when I was younger, but now I just try to find what the issues are and vote that way.
Okay, so what about the, like, judicial elections in terms of...
You got to read and find out who they are. You said it just right. It has to be researched.
So, okay. I'm just curious. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And
I'm worried, you know, that hopefully we didn't scare people. You know, when I mentioned the challenge that is, it is a challenge that's required of people during this election to help build bridges instead of building on the animosity that's being created and maintained by our illustrious, what do you call him, president?
The president of the United States. I'm one who, you know, I have some people who say I refuse to call him the president, or I don't want to give him that thing. I mean,
well, he has the title regardless of what I want to call him, but I was looking for the alternative that represented you're not a good president. Do we have a title that...
Well, you're not a good president. But I think some of us who try to be more pure than others who say, well, that's not my president. Well, you know, we are part of this system. And so, yes, he is. So we have to live with it. I mean...
Well, yeah. But see, my concern, though, is something a little deeper. With all of the racism and the misogyny that's going on right now in the news, my concern is that we're finding ways to really dehumanize folk. It's becoming easier and easier.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time last week, you know, we were looking at our topic, and one of the things that hit me was the fact that we were talking about people being shot, about some misogynistic violence that had occurred, how people were being turned away without regard from whether they were going to be legal, quote-unquote, immigrants or not. And here we have a robot getting citizenship. And so I'm looking at this gradual dehumanizing, and I guess the pun is intended, and wondering again, how are we dealing with that as an issue, and how are you dealing with it publicly? Now, for many people, the whole idea of having sanctuary places in this country, in various cities, is a necessity. Whether it's because you have somebody who is concerned about their immigration status, or maybe they're not safe at home because there's domestic violence, or whatever the reasons why your organization might have sanctuary concerns or want to represent themselves as a sanctuary organization. But one of the most basic reasons we want to think about and perhaps if not directly support sanctuaries, at least understand the need for them, is the fact that we're talking about keeping human beings human, recognizing that we have a larger duty to both ourselves and our community in finding ways to stem this tide of misogyny and being misanthropic. Break the word down. I'm trying to remember a nice summation. Okay, you don't like people.
Okay.
You know, remembering that we are all human beings after all. I mean, here we are anxious about a lot of things here in 2018. We're anxious about whether our government is going to bomb somebody or be bombed. We're anxious about whether artificial intelligence is going to take a job away from us or not. We're worried about whether or not we're going to be able to get food that's good for our bodies or is going to be genetically modified. But we forget in the midst of all this that we're not in this alone. There are human beings in this, and some of these human beings are running to us for shelter. And where are we? I'm trying to keep focused on the larger picture, because it seems like we're forgetting that this caravan of immigrants is not some inhumane mass. It's a group of people.
Let me ask you a question, particularly about the point you made earlier about how to speak on those logic questions and speaking to people who are opposed to you. Perhaps we can have a discussion about how do you have those discussions with those who disagree with you, with people you may or may not be in relationship with. How is it possible? But you are listening to More Talk Radio on KBOO. Give us a call at 503-231-8187. We have a caller who is unnamed. Good morning, unnamed
you
person.
Are there.
My name is, it doesn't matter. But the point I wanted to make was I was listening to earlier to the Jewish blonde-haired guy who says I don't look like a Jew, and you guys get all politically correct and get your panties in a wad about that. And then the Mexican guy, like I explained to the call screener, I said the Mexican, you take a Mexican person who's grown up in, say, Mexico City, for example, and you compare his diction or his or her diction to the way they speak compared to a person who grew up in Madrid. They both speak Spanish, but they both sound completely different, just like a person who grew up in Portland, Oregon sounds completely different than a person who grew up in Liverpool, England.
Right. And I mean, that's my point. Maybe that's the way he said it. I'm okay. I don't have a problem with that.
I'm sick and tired of this PC police.
Sir, I don't have a problem with
that. We agree with you.
I agree with you. I'm not. I don't have a problem with that. If he says he doesn't speak Mexican, that might be the way he says it.
You're subtly kind of saying that you got.
No, I'm not subtly kind of saying anything.
The Jewish blonde guy who said he doesn't look Jewish, and you're going, well, what is a person? By the way, I get mistaken for a when I'm in like one of the local grocery stores, some of the Orthodox Jewish men will kind of nod to me, kind of like they think I'm Orthodox Jewish.
Let me
any religion. The point is that I just get sick of all this political correctness.
Okay, let me ask you that particularly, sir. Sir, let me ask you, because you said you get sick of this political correctness. I mean, I never used that term, and I used the term being polite and considerate. So I'm not, you know, attacking and say someone has to believe or think a certain way.
Considerate, and I thought the guy who said he looks like a Mexican, he is Mexican, but he was born here. But, you know, he doesn't sound like a Mexican, and you guys took umbrage to that, and I just...
No, I didn't.
You misunderstood
us,
sir.
Yes, you definitely misunderstood me. I said that, for one thing, it could have been cold talk, because we all speak differently in our home groups, or just like you said, I thought maybe that's not the dialect of Spanish he speaks. I have a friend who is Cuban. And he definitely speaks a different language from former coworkers who are Mexican and South American. And so he does say he speaks Cuban. That's how he talks. He said, well, I don't speak Spanish. I speak Cuban. So I don't take umbrage.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to clarify that. But I know I've been listening to KBOO and supporting KBOO now for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been, too much political correctness as far as I'm
concerned. So what is this thing about political correctness? I hear this term for the last 20 years. I don't know what it is. Explain it to me. And why are you upset about it?
Let me put it this way. I don't try to be offensive to anybody the way somebody said something. Anyway, I've got to get back to work. Thanks.
Okay, get back to work. So, you know, this is a question, a larger question, related to what you said earlier about talking to people across political barriers.
Mm-hmm.
That caller who did not want to say his name, and I felt in that there was something that I disagreed with him, but it was difficult to have a conversation with him.
I can't speak for him, but I think I might have an inkling about what he was saying. If there was any confusion in how I addressed a caller or anybody saying that they don't speak something, and in this case, I don't speak Mexican, my concern was is the person like being tongue-in-cheek when he says that, and not being a smart aleck? That's a nice way of putting it. You know, not being a smart aleck, because, you know, I have had racist people say, well, I don't speak Mexican, you know. And it's like, well, the language is Spanish. But if you're an in-person, you're part of the culture, and you say, well, I could say easily, well, I don't speak Alabama. Yeah. And people might get what I'm talking about, and people might not. But I'm not being dismissive. I'm not being disrespectful.
I think I understand what you're saying, and I'm saying that this last caller who was very upset, upset and offended by what he said, and again, I think he was putting people in a box. I hear on KBOO, so everyone on KBOO, have a certain way to think and act, and I don't think so. We're all independent. Each program is separate than the other, but how do, for me at least, it made me think, how do we speak with people who are different, who have different understanding, and feel strong about it? That guy felt very strong about political correctness, which is to me is a buzzword, which I honestly don't understand. And
I know what it used to mean.
And how do people talk about that? We have three callers online, and we might have more people
than we have time.
But let's try to get to them. Let's go to Mike. Thank you, Mike, for waiting.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I might refer that last caller or anyone, even myself sometimes. If you're frustrated or confused or need to put political correctness or education along those lines in context, just read the KBOO charter.
Okay.
Yep. My original call had to do with bearing witness, which in some ways is the least we can do, but also so important fundamentally. So we all have our phones, digital. We all have, or many of us have smartphones or cell phones, flip phones, whatever. Let's continue to get a record on the roads and streets and neighborhoods and work and everything else. Let's get images of these terrorist trucks that the militias and the alt-right and patriot pairs and the KKK, like up here in Clark County, Washington, they're flying their freak flag high these days and strutting around with their chest stuck out. Well, that's awful, but let's take that as an opportunity to identify these people for who and what they are, at least what they're trying to be or what they're trying to associate with, because they don't feel good about themselves. And let's get it on record, send those pictures, to the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Defamation League, the FBI, local county and police, and just to, at the very, very least, you're getting a census. Mm-hmm. And you know darn well, if you got this stuff online and on your phone or Outlook or whatever, that the feds are combing through this stuff, you know, mechanically. Mm-hmm. And they can edit and delete anything they want, and they can cover up license plates with fuzz if they want, and they do, and they have.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who's used their cameras at these anti-fascist rallies, anti-terrorist, racist demonstrations, know that they've had pictures in their system, you know, online and so forth, that have been fuzzed out on license plates and stuff.
Yes.
And it's probably to protect FBI that are on scene. And you got to give them some credit for at least monitoring them. And I've talked to an official just the other day from Clark County who's retiring, and he said, yeah, the FBI are all over those people, but, you know, and these are tax dodger people, these are freedom people, these are don't tread on me people. Look at the stickers on their trucks and cars. The black, if they're rich, they have brand new shiny black painted trucks with we don't care stickers and trucks matter stickers and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And anti-Black Lives Matter and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're poor, they got spray painted black trucks. So let's get out there, people, get busy and document these people. Thank you.
Hey, thank you so much. You are listening to More Talk Radio, and we will go to LJ. Good morning, LJ.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. We're fine.
I'm fine. It's like it's not as dark. It's early in the morning, so I'm great.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know about you, but my body is still, my internal clock is still readjusting itself.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you for the conversation today. And what I'd like to do is refer you and the folks that are listening to an article that appeared in The Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's titled White Men's Tantrums.
Oh.
All right.
That sounds pretty much like the incel groups.
Well, it's subtitled, wait, let me get to this here. They're frustrated by the prospect of their power eroding.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
And there's a little sidebar here that I'd like you to read also. White male power has long relied on the veneer of democracy and law to preserve its control.
Yes, that's true.
All right? And so
this is The Nation?
It's The Nation magazine.
Which issue do you know?
You can probably get it online. Wait once. I'll give you the date of the issue. I'm wrestling around here, talking on my rotary phone. It's the November 1st issue.
Okay.
All right.
November 1st, 2018. It's a very, very powerful piece, and read it and let it cook in the melon, as our Quaker friends say, and just think on it.
All righty. Thank you for the call. And the information.
And thank you for that Quaker phrase. I haven't heard that in a while.
I've got just enough time to give Rose a couple of minutes.
Good morning, Rose.
Oh, good morning. Thank you so much. I just want to say very quickly that it's wonderful that you're there. The word needs to be spread to the ignorant that the ones that call themselves Christian, Jesus, who they worship, was Jewish. His family was Jewish. His friends mm-hmm. were Jewish. But there are a lot of people that are ignorant. I said to one woman, well, Jesus was Jewish. She said, well, we don't look at it that way.
No. Oh.
Then they don't look at the truth. The truth needs to be spread. And the Bible, which they worship, was given to them. God spoke directly. There was direct spiritual contact to the Jewish people. So the ones that are hating... they're hating their Lord Jesus, and they're hating the people who wrote the Bible, the Old Testament. It's insane. They need to know the truth, and a lot of people are still ignorant. They don't understand that immigrants are refugees from genocide. a lot of them think, oh, they're just coming here to get take jobs away.
Right.
The truth isn't getting out enough. I mean, God bless everyone there. Thank God Cato's there. But the truth needs to get out more. It needs to be spread more so that these people who are brainwashed somehow can reach an awareness.
Yes.
Thank you.
The truth.
Thank you,
thank
Rose.
Thank you so much,
for
Rose.
Sharing. And this is More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil Prescott, and for those of you who have not voted, you have one day left to vote, so get your ballots in or go to your polling booth or do what you need to do. And
to participate fully. And know that at 9 o'clock, the Old Mall Variety Hour is on, 10 o'clock, Locust Focus, 11, Radio Zine, and 11:30, Madness Radio. All of these KPOO programs are made possible by member support. That's you when you are a member. If you're not, donate, become a member of KPOO at kboo.fm and click on donate, and we'll thank you mightily for it.
Tune into KPOO Tuesday, November 6th from 6 to 10 p.m. for election night coverage. We'll have national coverage by Pacifica and Native Voice One. And at 8 p.m., our local news team will provide election results and analysis. Again, that's election night coverage Tuesday, November 6th, starting at 6 p.m. after the KPOO Evening News here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
KPOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Top Dog Underdog, running Friday, November 9th at the Chapel Theater in Milwaukee. Top Dog Underdog tells the story of a sibling rivalry between African-American brothers in a turbulent relationship punctuated with dark humor. Their names are Lincoln and Booth. This show has adult content and is not recommended for children. Again, that's Top Dog Underdog, running Friday, November 9th at the Chapel Theater, 4107 Southeast Harrison Street in Milwaukee.